Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Hill, the running back, Jackson in the gun. The 49-yard line of Baltimore, 3rd and 2. Shotgun snap. Handoff, Hill runs laterally. Stiff arms, breaks a tackle, 50. Got a block, 40 on the numbers, 30. Far side, foot raise, 20. Far sideline, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Or did he step out of bounds? Let's see where they're marking. Oh, it is a touchdown. Walking the tightrope down the far side.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Exciting game last night. Ravens win 30-23. There you go. You got your Harbaugh Bowl. Once again, older brother John beats younger brother Jim. Knew that was going to happen. But Perloff, I think the bigger question, as I say good morning, is whether you believe the Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL. Because right now, to me, it looks like it's the Ravens and the Lions. Those would be the two teams, you know, outside of the Lifetime Achievement Award that the Chiefs get, no matter how bad they look, they're always going to be dangerous in the playoffs. But if you're asking me who's playing the best, I think I would have to say the Ravens' ceiling feels like it's the highest, and the Lions' ceiling feels like it's the highest.
Yeah, I feel like the two teams are in different conversations, though, because the Ravens are, first of all, they're in the AFC, which is much harder. Second of all, they have this tragic flaw that their defense is not great. And even last night, you saw their defense, they don't cover well. They have so many pass interference penalties. You can get them long. So they're going to have to win in shootouts. Who knows? Playoff time, it might be different. But yeah, they just don't scare me at all on defense. And usually when you think of a Super Bowl champion, the defense has to step up. And Baltimore, we haven't seen that. Detroit, funny, since Aiden Hutchinson went down, their defense has looked amazing. Yep. Now, they played some bad teams, but or at least disappointing teams. Like, Houston's not a bad team, but they shut them down. So I think Detroit feels more complete. The Ravens feel like they're in a conversation, but they aren't the conversation.
Okay, but here's like how you see that the Ravens are compensating for maybe a lack of confidence in their defense, which is John Harbaugh, in his own territory, before the two-minute warning in the first half, going for a 4th and 1 at his own 16. I mean, listen, I know John Harbaugh's been around for a long time. He's won a Super Bowl, but he's not totally immune to criticism. That play would have been wildly criticized, and it was a direct snap to Mark Andrews. And by the way, it barely got there. And so they're really playing, understanding who their defense is. And Roquan Smith was out last night, and he's one of their best defensive players, if not the best. And they were adjusting like that. They didn't do nothing. They realized, hey, we're playing against a good quarterback. I'm playing against my brother. I understand that he might want to be aggressive. And they made the adjustment and end up working for him. Like, I think it's the good coaching combination. And obviously Lamar, you know, and Derrick Henry bring this thing to a totally new level.
Yeah, I think if the Chargers had any receivers, they would have scored 40 points last night. They just don't. They not only have receivers, they have receivers that kill you. And secondly, I think that John Harbaugh knew that his line was blowing the Chargers' defensive line away.
They were.
So I think they had so much confidence. That's not happening against Pittsburgh. He's not going for that 4th and 1. So you say that's a strategy. I think that was a game-specific strategy. Was there a single play where Derrick Henry had the ball where I thought like he didn't have a chance to break it? Now, they did have a couple negative runs on him, but generally they overwhelmed the Chargers. It was like big boy football versus little kid football.
No doubt. Ravens won the line of scrimmage. Not even close. I'll give you that. So here's John Harbaugh on the decision to keep going for it on fourth down where they were very successful last night.
You just got to try to hang on to possessions as long as you can because they're so good. And if you have a chance to convert because it's 6 inches as opposed to something that could be tougher, you could be in a 3rd and 10 the next time out and you don't get a real chance to do it. And their offense is so challenging and so good. That's really the main reason. We just felt we were going to need it.
And they went for it. And to be fair, they kept being aggressive. And it worked for them last night. And, you know, why this team is so different, this Ravens team is different, is the Derrick Henry factor. So he's mentioned it, 140 yards on 24 carries. And you know what's weird is I think they do this thing where they kind of load manage him in the game. Do you notice that a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. On some I think of these I know what you mean.
Closer games, like all of a sudden it feels like Henry is not carrying the ball as much on like the first drive of the second quarter, like middle of the third quarter, and then they sort of save him a little bit. And you have Justice Hill, who we played the highlight for you with the 51-yard touchdown. So you got this combination of the bowling ball of Henry and then the speed of Hill.
It totally works. And you didn't even really need Lamar. Only threw for 177 yards last night. He didn't need to do much. I think this game was decided really in April 2023, and I'll tell you why. Mm. The Chargers took Quentin Johnson at 21, and the Ravens right after them picked Zay Flowers, and then the Vikings right after that picked Jordan Addison. I mean, that is night and day. You saw Zay Flowers had a huge play last night. He's 5 times a receiver. And actually, people ripped the Chargers at the time. They're like, Quentin Johnson can't run a route. What are you doing? And he's had a decent year, but last night he just killed Justin Herbert. 5 targets, 0 catches, 3 drops. I think a 4th drop as well. So you see, they just don't have the talent on the edges to compete with Baltimore. You can't keep up when you don't have receivers.
Yeah, but this was also a conscious decision that they made, which was to take Joe Alt with their first pick, and I don't think it was still the right decision. You're never going to regret, I don't think, taking an offensive lineman, but they could have shored up that offense with a first-round pick, and they decided to go offensive line. And again, I'm not second-guessing that.
Well, I just think it's what we're seeing is that Jim Harbaugh is trying to unbury or trying to dig out of the hole that Tom Telesco put them in personnel-wise. I think they're going to get much bigger up front. I think that last night that those fourth down plays are like, that's not happening to a Jim Harbaugh team next year. They were just physically outmanned. I think it's basically his one receiver right now, Ladd McConkey. He's got to get a new receiver. And J.K. Dobbins, a great story. He can't stay healthy. So they have some work to do. And we said that coming into the year. We're like, Harbaugh's taking over a flawed team. I think I personally got a little over my skis with them because they were, you know, really looking great against bad teams. And Herbert is playing well. But I think give it a year or two and let Harbaugh define this team.
Yep.
It's going to be something really good.
It'd be curious to see how the game would have changed if Dobbins could have stayed healthy, because Gus Edwards is just not the same. And
No.
Dobbins left at halftime with an injury, and so we'll see what happens with him. Now, the other part of this, you mentioned Quentin Johnston out of TCU. And TCU, that was the great story, and they end up beating Michigan, Harbaugh's Michigan team, and then getting smoked in the national championship game. But he had a 3rd and 6, and it was the perfect play design. I mean, Greg Roman takes a lot of heat as the offensive coordinator, but that was perfect. It can't lay out any better. A 3rd and 6, they get Johnston wide open. He's got all this green grass in front of him, and he just dropped the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, still humans playing the game, but that was a bummer because at that point, basically, the Chargers go 3 and out on that drive, and on the very next drive, it's that Justice Hill touchdown that we played. So, and at that point, you're down 2 scores, about 7 minutes left to go. It would have been tough to come all the way back.
That's the thing about playing the Ravens. You cannot screw up at all on offense because you're not going to be able to keep up. And if you let the Ravens get a lead with Derrick Henry, forget it. I mean, the Chargers, they should have came away from the first quarter with 14 points. They really had a chance. Like, you got to get way ahead of them to take the Derrick Henry option out. And I think, you know, that being said, like we talked about, you started off by saying, are the Ravens the team to beat? I don't think you could run like that on Kansas City. I don't think you can necessarily run like that on Buffalo, I know you said they already did. They already
they
did.
They ran all but, over Buffalo.
I think Buffalo can make adjustments, and I think the Steelers, if the Ravens happen to face the Steelers in the playoffs, you're not going to run like that. You're not going 3-for-3 on fourth down like that because it's going to be way more challenging, just much, much tougher teams up front. You think about the Chiefs are going to send those linebackers like missiles at Derrick Henry's legs. It's going to be a totally different game.
Okay, but here's the thing about the Chiefs. They play everybody close, including the Panthers. So it's not going to be – you're never going to take Derrick Henry out of the game because – you're always going to be in a close game with the Chiefs.
But would you trust Steve Spagnuolo? And you know, he took Lamar Jackson out of the game. He took his running out of the game in the playoff game. They scored 10 points last year when they were a great offense. I just think there's some big challenges ahead from Baltimore. It's not going to be as easy as last night.
855-212-4227. 30-23. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes. 30-23, that's the final score. Derrick Henry is one of the big heroes. Now, you mentioned it, Pearl, that you are not envious of the people who have to put their MVP ballot in.
Yeah.
Because I honestly think that Henry and Lamar are going to end up canceling each other out.
Makes sense.
And so it's going to come down to, I think right now, Josh Allen versus Saquon Barkley.
Right, but there's a lot of season left. We're only through 11 games. That's a huge deal. I mean, that's what, 38% of the season.
Yeah, but who do you think's coming out of the woodwork here?
Well, if Josh Allen ends up with a season at 15-2, is my math right? Yeah, 15-2, and the Eagles lose three games. That's a big deal. I'm saying it's that close. Like the final record makes a difference. And what if the Ravens run out? Say the Bills go on a little losing streak. Possible.
They could lose. They have to play the 49ers. They got to play the Lions. Excuse me.
You could knock him out. And if the Eagles start load managing Saquon, which makes a lot of sense too. Like they're giving him a lot of carries. I would not count out the Baltimore guys. You know, Lamar's been perfect. There's just nothing. What can you say that is negative about him this year?
Well. Here's the thing about the Ravens in general. The amount of penalties that they get called for should be like a way bigger deal.
Yeah, they're
but we don't talk about it nearly enough. It's on the offensive side too. The illegal formations, the stuff on the offensive line. Listen, it's not all Lamar's fault. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's the one thing about the Ravens. I think their biggest competition is themselves because sometimes they just gets silly at certain times. Another 9 penalties last night for over 100 yards. You got Joe and Troy are making fun of it on the broadcast about how many flags are happening every Monday Night Football game, but especially with the Ravens.
Oh, yeah, but their defense being terrible makes Lamar all the more special because he's getting even more stats because he's got to be in a shootout. So he's going to have – Lamar has 2 MVPs. I would say his season is 20% better than any season he's ever had. So what do you do with that? I mean, his numbers are through the roof right now because his passing numbers have never been anywhere close to this. He's way ahead of any pace he's ever been on.
So a couple things from last night. Troy Aikman talking about how Todd Monken should be at the top of everyone's list in terms of coaches. So that's kind of interesting because I don't think his name was really being floated around with the Vrabels and the Belichicks and the Ben Johnsons and guys like that. So we'll see if the Ravens offensive coordinator, former Georgia offensive coordinator, does start to get some looks.
58. It's kind of old for a first-time head coach.
Yeah, but Belichick's 73. I know it's Belichick.
Yeah, I'm just saying first time. I mean, there's been a couple guys that have come in at 60 as their first coaching job. That's not
I kind of like that, actually. It's not the first time he's a head coach. He's been a head coach in college.
Right, but I think that the NFL owners are going to be like, give me Sean McVay. That's sort of, it's a copycat league. Remember, if you knew Sean McVay, you got a job.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's any different.
Perloff said he was watching the Manning cast yesterday.
Yeah.
And Luke and Owen Wilson were on.
Yeah, two of my favorites. Big, big fan.
How'd it go?
It was okay. Omaha! The game got really intense during their time there. And so Eli was asking about like movies and the Ravens were storming down the field. And obviously Luke and Owen started watching the game. I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
Vrabel was really funny, apparently. I saw a bunch of Vrabel quotes. He came in the fourth quarter, and the game was a little more relaxed then, so he had some fun.
I just find it hard when you got 4 people all on a Zoom. Like that, I don't want to watch that.
I also have zero interest in hearing a celebrity talking during a football game. Sorry, I'm watching
unless
the
game. Unless it's a blowout, maybe.
The only time it's fun is if it's a comedian. Like Kevin Hart has come on and he's just destroyed Eli Manning because he's an Eagles fan and Eli obviously with the Giants. Or if you're really entertaining somebody, but just watching a game with a celebrity,
Yeah, even and Kevin Hart was okay. I don't know. I just feel like I'm coming here for a football game, whether it's the Manning cast or the regular cast. Like, give me just football people. If you want to give me other athletes, maybe I can do that. Like, you want to give me a LeBron, you want to give me a baseball player, I can do that. Clayton Kershaw. I don't know. It just doesn't jive with me to hear. I don't like the Wilson brothers. They're great. They're in a lot of stuff I love. I zero interest in watching them talk about football or whatever they're doing during an NFL game.
They did a bit about what if Owen Wilson was the third Manning brother, Jasper Manning. It was kind of funny. He could have been, you know, they're doing a movie. Remember Eli played Chad Powers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You said they're doing a movie where Glenn Powell, who's like the hottest star in the world, is going to play Chad Powers, journeyman quarterback that Eli Manning invented. So
really?
Yeah. Oh, have you guys have not seen
the preview?
I didn't
see that.
Yeah, it's real.
They're showing the trailer.
Wait, is he going to wear the makeup that Eli? So
yeah,
this,
he's got
a
mullet.
This was an ad campaign or something, right? Where
I don't know if it was an ad. I think he just was doing it just for fun.
I think it was one of Eli's places, if I'm not mistaken, for ESPN Plus.
Yeah. Eli has a show called Eli's Places.
A spinoff from Peyton's Places.
Peyton's Places, which was like, that's a play on words of a famous TV show that was on way before we were born.
Oh, here's the plot. A disgraced college quarterback named Russ Holiday disguises himself as Chad Powers and walks onto a struggling Southern football team to revive his football career.
Russ, always getting into something there, Russ.
Russ Holiday.
Glenn Powell.
What a clearly obvious fake name.
Yeah, they must have done this whole thing before Glenn Powell completely blew up. He just feels well below him.
Well, so the thing about what Eli did is he put on some makeup, and a lot of it, and went to Penn State and pretended to be a walk-on who was going to try out for the team.
Ah, okay.
No.
And obviously he's slinging the ball over, and everyone's like, what's going on? Who's this guy, Chad Powers?
No.
Okay, so they took that and ran with it. That's funny. I'm all in. I'll watch this movie in 2 seconds.
Well, Glenn Powell apparently wrote this movie, so he's invested.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's written by him and Michael Waldron, who, if you remember, Michael Waldron did Loki and Doctor Strange.
No way.
Yeah, he's also worked on Ricky
Morty.
That's
a good resume.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's some legit people connected to this.
And this is going to be a theatrical release?
This is going to be a comedy series on Hulu.
Oh, okay. That's not a movie.
No, but it's still
Oh, I thought
legit.
It was a movie. It's a series?
It's a series, yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
But still, you got Glenn Powell. He's probably the number one actor in Hollywood right now.
Can I say something about all the series that are on all these streaming services? I feel like they were meant... So you watch the first episode and you never watch another episode. How many times has that happened to you where you watch one episode and you're like, I get it. No? Maybe it's just me.
I think just you. I think everybody else.
Everyone's watching everything all the way to the end. All right.
Basically, they're
isn't streaming like a binge thing. That's the whole point, right? Is to get you to watch one, and then now you're hooked, and you know, because sometimes they're just the whole season's out. You just watch the whole thing.
I get that, but you know, sometimes you don't have like 4 hours to just sit in front of the TV when it's not a football game. If it's football, I've got 12 hours to sit there without blinking. But if it's just any other show, that can be hard.
I think you have different viewing patterns than some people. Like, there are a lot of people who just sit there and watch 8 hours and stay up till 4 a.m. watching. But you have a morning show. It's hard to do. Let me ask you a question. Can you remember a show that you heard good things about, watch one episode, and turn it off? The only time I watch one episode is Apple TV. I won't pay for it.
Yeah.
And they give you one free episode. So everyone's like, you got to watch this show. And I watch one show, and I'm like... Can't watch the rest, but I would.
Same. It was the one with Adam Scott.
About the workplace?
About the workplace. Yeah. One and done on that. No way.
Well, do you have Apple TV?
I do not.
Okay.
It wasn't
there you
a
go.
Problem.
Yeah, no, I think these shows are really like movies that they cut up into 8 parts. Like, they're built like movies.
Can
they're
we
not
put
really
out,
serious.
Can we put this as a poll? If you're streaming a series, do you always watch all the way through, or are you more likely to do one episode and done? No?
I just don't understand this one episode and done.
Yeah, Maggie, it feels like a Maggie thing.
Right, maybe it's a me thing.
I'd like to hear from people.
Maybe I'm the weirdo.
I don't know. I think of things that I binge, like Narcos or shows like that. Like,
okay, well, so there's some great shows. Like, I watched Succession all the way through. We've talked about Shogun. Okay, I watched that. I used to fall asleep a lot during it, but it's okay. I watched it. You know, I basically got the gist.
God, I watch every. I am not a one and done. I basically stream things.
There will be shows where I maybe watch a few and then maybe don't go back. Maybe I don't go back.
You don't finish.
Yeah, I don't. One episode, no, because a lot of pilots kind of suck.
Yeah,
like a lot of it, you don't really get the season. There's always a major twist in the middle. So to me, it's like I kind of got to get past the first episode in order to get like a real feel for it.
So one of them is Perloff recommended a show called What We Do in the Shadows, right? And it's really funny, and it's about these vampires who find their way to Staten Island. Okay, and it's hilarious. But I basically got it with the first episode.
Well,
it's all vampire humor.
Let's move on.
Okay.
I think we have very, very different tastes.
I also think you just offended Perloff.
I mean,
it's one of the great five comedies of all time. I basically got it after one show.
Greatest comedies of all time. Come on. No.
What We Do in the Shadows. Oh, my God. You should see the guest stars they are having this season is insane. Matthew Barry. Oh, it's I think Taika Waititi touches.
The fantasy football guy?
Oh, no, he's like a hot comedic actor. He's really funny. What We Do in the Shadows is tremendous. And I think it's like a critical darling, but whatever. Taika Waititi is EJ and I's favorite.
Okay. I don't know. Can we put that on the poll? Do you watch one episode or
what comedies do you like? I'm just curious.
Caddyshack 2.
Exactly. Sequels. 855-212-4227. Clearly my taste is impeccable. See you guys on the phones. Let's keep talking. Ravens, are they one of the... Is it them and the Lions who are the two classes of the AFC and the NFC? We have a lot of college football for you as well. We get into our report card next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Short week. We got football to get ready for on Thursday. But Maggie, I know you have a lot of work to do because in your head, you got a game plan for the rest of the AFC. And you clearly, I could tell today right now that you're a little on edge because the Ravens look unstoppable.
Yeah, I got all my notes here, facts and figures, like a beautiful mind. I'm trying to crack the code on the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard because you still have Patrick Mahomes. Now you have Lamar Jackson. Now you have Derrick Henry. At least I think you can worry a little bit less about the Chargers. That must feel good.
Who was it who put something out on social media yesterday? Forgive me. They said that Josh Allen is going to be like the Drew Brees of his era.
Oh, like a Charles Barkley never won a title guy.
Well, Brees did win a title, so he might win one. No, but just in the fact that he could be overshadowed, like how Peyton Manning and Tom Brady overshadowed Brees. This is really Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson's era, and Josh is going to be like the third person.
That makes sense. Okay, I was thinking more like Dan Marino never win a Super Bowl.
Well, that might happen too. Who knows? But the idea about the individual and how they're going to be, you know, Brees is definitely has the numbers to be in the same categories as Manning and Brady, but he doesn't have the Super Bowls of Brady. He doesn't have the MVPs of Manning.
Yeah, I mean, Brees, a couple things. One, he had Sean Payton, system quarterback. Two, he was playing indoors his whole career. So was Payton, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I think those are two dings against him. Did Brees get an MVP? He got two offensive players of the year. I do not see an MVP, but I'll double check that. Allen needs an MVP to get probably in that conversation, but he needs a ring. I mean, isn't that the only thing that matters for a guy at that level?
Totally. And so does Lamar. Adrian's in Maryland has a thought on how to take Derrick Henry out of the game. How do you do that besides getting up three touchdowns?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. You just get up on him and you basically make Baltimore go to what they don't want to do is throw the ball constantly. And that's what Kansas City did. Even though Derrick Henry wasn't on the team last year, they got up early. Baltimore seemed looked at it as we got to score with them and keep scoring with them. So they went away from the run. Kansas City wins the game in basically an ugly game. Hey, Maggie, got a question for you. I know you like to bet a lot. Okay, I got Josh Allen as the MVP, Saquon Barkley as the offensive player of the year. I can't come up with a defensive player of the year.
T.J. Watt.
No, his numbers are down.
I don't like that. I don't like he's not dominating games. Sometimes you don't even hear his name. I actually took Chris Jones or Hendrickson just because he's got so many sacks this year.
I know, but Trey Hendrickson, the Bengals might not make the playoffs. Are you going to give it to somebody whose team isn't in the postseason?
It's a tough call. I really like Chris Jones because their defense is top five defense. I don't like T.J. Watt. I'm sorry. I know that's your pick. I don't like him. Also, hey, don't sleep on Bo Nix, right? Come on.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. This is killing Perloff, by the way, because Adrian, thank you for the call, dude. Good to hear from you. Perloff, you picked Jaden Daniels to win Offensive Rookie of the Year the day of the draft. You're like, this is it. He's winning. And then he had it in the bag through the first 8 weeks of the season. Now he's been a little banged up. It hasn't looked as great. And here comes Bo Nix charging hard.
I mean, give it to him. But the Broncos are such, they're so defined by this schedule. It's crazy how bad the teams they play are. Well, I can't wait for them to get to the playoffs and just get the doors blown off them. They're like Notre Dame and Indiana. Like, you can't, you got to play somebody until anyone believes you. So actually, I don't even care. I think actually Jaden Daniels is going to get a little healthier and play a little better down the stretch in this little run right now. I'm not worried about that. I would still put in money on Jaden Daniels. Defensive player of the year, that's a tough one. I mean, it's the best. It's so funny because I think Dexter Lawrence is the highest graded Pro Football Focus guy, and he's on the Giants, who are giving up on the season. So TJ Watt has been totally taken out. I don't know what you're going to do here.
Well, Miles Garrett, I mean, had a really good game.
They're terrible.
I know, but that's the thing. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Miles Garrett also has been in and out of the lineup a little bit. This is impossible. Is there a DB, maybe? Like, remember when Stephon Gilmore came away with it?
I'm thinking Pastor Tan, maybe.
He's awesome.
He's a great player. The Broncos have a great defense.
Do you feel like defensive player of the year? Yeah, they have a great defense because they play the Titans and the Jags every week.
It's possible it goes to Chris Jones.
I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was going to win this thing running away. Chris Jones is a great choice.
I think this is going to be one of the weakest defensive player of the years ever, which is weird because offenses are all down. But I can't. I don't look at these teams and say there's one guy that's just taking over games every week.
You still have a lot of high profile games with T.J. Watt. He's going to be playing on Christmas, right? He's going to be playing against the Chiefs. They're going to be playing all these big games. He still can get back into it.
Definitely. The thing about T.J. Watt, he's measured against himself, and he's just not, for whatever reason, just not having the same year that he's had in the past. You know, I mean, he's challenged for the sack rate. He's at 7.5 sacks. He had 19 last year, 22.5 in 21. He's out on pace for about 13 because I think defense offense have figured out, like, hey, we better double team, triple team, put four guys on that guy. Are voters savvy enough to realize that he's drawing all the attention?
Well, the other part, too, is I know it's supposed to be for one player, but when Alex Highsmith comes back, that's probably going to free up some things for T.J. Watt, and he is going to come. He is back. So I'm not jumping off the TJ Watt bandwagon yet. Andrew Bogus is here with headlines for us. We'll get to our college football report card in just a little bit. What's up, folks?
Guys, three meetings, three happy game-ending handshakes for John Harbaugh. He still hasn't lost to little brother Jim after Monday Night Football in L.A.
I just told him, hey, you're a great coach and you have a great team, you know, and I love you. And he said, I love you and congratulations. That was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Jim,
does he have to tell his brother he's a good coach? He just won the national championship.
Just in case you forgot, Jim and the Chargers did score the first 10 points last night, but the Ravens eventually led by 14 before winning 30-23. Lamar Jackson threw for two scores and ran for another.
For me, being a big brother, it's like I can't lose to my little brother, you know, and that's what I believe going into that game. He was thinking a lot, you know, and then Jim on the other side, I believe he was like, I got to beat my big brother. But we came out victorious, so I feel like that's a good thing.
The Ravens ran for 212 yards last night, only 15 from Jackson, 140, though, from Derrick Henry. The Chargers' four-game winning streak is over. They've now allowed 57 points over their last two games after not allowing more than 20 through their first nine. Detroit area prosecutors say Lions wideout Jameson Williams will not face charges for an October 8th traffic stop. That's the one where a gun was found under Williams' passenger seat. He did not have a concealed carry permit, so he was briefly in custody but then released. Police and prosecutors revisited the incident after local media asked why Williams was let go that night. The lawyers now say this decision had nothing to do with Williams' status as a pro athlete. From Michael Malone's rant to Dan Hurley as the UConn head coach, not as relaxed as you're supposed to be in Maui. Hurley did not like the officiating at all during yesterday's game with Memphis, but with 1 minute left in overtime, he really didn't like a foul called against his guys. He fell on the court in disbelief, getting a tech. The Tigers hit four free throws, two for the regular foul, two for the tech, to break a tie, and then they won 99-97. First, here's Hurley on how he ended up on the court.
I don't know what happened. I might have lost my balance by the absurdity of the call, or maybe I tripped.
Or maybe you tripped.
Maybe he threw a tantrum.
The call was an over-the-back call, and here's his takedown of that whistle.
That over-the-back call at that point of the game, there was no attempt to block out. There was a player on Memphis that made a half-ass effort to rebound that basketball, and Liam McNeely high-pointed that rebound. For that call to be made at that point of the game was a complete joke.
I believe he also said, how many titles do we have to win to get a better whistle?
I mean, Dan Hurley, it's the calm voice after the fact that makes it even creepier because, or like, it makes it even more sinister in some ways because he's such a maniac during the game. Can you imagine this guy, if he had actually coached the Lakers and he's doing this 82 times a season?
I think we said that. He's not built for 82 games plus playoffs.
No.
He's just not.
Unless he would change his attitude or something.
One thing, I'm betting on him in March. I love this psycho attitude.
I mean, I turned that game on at like 2:42 yesterday, and they were coming out of their first media timeout, and he was already scolding a referee.
You're not tired of this act?
4 minutes in.
You guys aren't tired of this act?
You tired of them winning titles? You tired of Coach K being, he was the same guy, like Bobby Knight, all win.
Coach K was never what Dan Hurley is a grown-ass man throwing tantrums like he's a six-year-old who didn't get a toy at Toys R Us. Come on, man.
That's like very Bobby Knight-ish.
He was a tired act, too. This is all just so, this is embarrassing. It's an embarrassing look for Dan Hurley. I'm tired of this shtick.
By the way, if I'm Penny Hardaway, I don't like him saying my guys were giving a half effort on a key play.
Well.
You lost.
What if they were?
I don't think, I watched the play. I don't think it was a half-ass effort. I think it was a bang-bang play. His guy got the ball. I don't think it was that terrible of a call. But like, I know Dan's upset, but it's like, well, you guys shouldn't have gave a half-ass effort in the first half. Right, you were down 15, 20 points, whatever you were down.
I guess here's the thing, right? You're right. I think some of it's an act, but I'm not really sure where the act ends and where the guy begins.
And that do I want my 19-year-old, you know, getting coached by this guy who's a lunatic?
It's
bananas.
Idea.
Absolutely bananas. Your
question is professionalism.
They won two titles in a row, man.
Wonderful. That's great. What'd they do? Throw a parade downstairs. It's a grown-ass man. Act like it.
But that's to be said. Who cares about any of that? If she's going to win another title, isn't that all that matters at the end of the day?
And Manny's saying no.
No, I don't think so. Not when you're at UConn. If you want to do this at some D2 school that doesn't have the type of pristine program that UConn has with the basketball.
Wait, you'd be serious about that?
Come on.
Jim Calhoun's UConn? What?
Kevin Ollie's blacklisted from college basketball still, I think.
With the women's program as well. This looks bad for all of UConn basketball, men's and women's program.
Oh, my God. You have it exactly wrong.
Why is that?
The only thing that matters are those trophies and the trophy guys. That's all that matters. So the fact that you said pristine program, they were the dirtiest program for decades at winning titles.
Well, not the dirtiest.
Right, right. But they were definitely.
Yeah, come on. I mean, there were dirtier programs. No, I understand.
Jim Calhoun is
got in trouble.
A polarizing figure. Let's put it that way. I mean, and by the way, you can't, Coach K, you think Coach K was a saint? Get out of here. He was as angry as any coach has ever been and ever will be. And Bobby Knight's even worse than him. So, no.
Well, Bobby Knight's not a good example for you because he definitely got fired for being a hothead.
Yes, right. But he's
definitely his hands on kids, which is not what we're talking about here.
Universally agreed to be the best college basketball coach behind John Wood. Like,
yeah, but nobody thought that Bobby Knight was being professional. To Manny's point, he's calling out the professionalism of Dan Hurley. You could also call out the lack of professionalism for Bobby Knight.
Of course.
He should have never acted that way. He acted like a jerk.
I'm not saying he should have, but if everyone knows if Bobby Knight had kept winning titles, he could have done whatever he wanted. But he started losing, and then he was acting like that.
But so, that's the big question about UConn is how long is this run? Because I watched them against a Memphis team that a lot of people don't think very highly of, have major problems.
Well, it's November.
It's November, but I mean, it's I mean, college basketball is similar to college football. I don't know if you're going to have these 10-year runs with the transfer portal. I think there's going to be a lot more. One team is up, and then the next team is up. I don't know if you're going to have a Mike Krzyzewski just run like this. So Hurley acts like this now, and he can get away with it, I think, because of those championships, Pearl. But is he going to – what happens if they're, you know, a team that's a middle-of-the-road kind of team, which UConn – we've seen them fall.
Yeah,
like, we've seen that happen.
I get that, but he's now a two-time national champion coach. That's like Dabo Swinney. Dabo's – quote unquote down now, but do you think he's getting fired? No way.
Oh, you know, I know the pressure he's gotten in South Carolina and Clemson. He had to cancel his radio show because calls were like, you're a bum and you're overrated and you're overpaid. This thing could turn so fast for college coaches.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone thinks Dabo's actually getting fired. Same thing. I know Jim Calhoun won three titles, right? But it's, was it three or two for Calhoun? Three.
Three, yeah.
So you're going to obviously get a lot more room.
It's not so much being fired. It's just about being that national pariah that Manny's talking about, where it's like, at what point do you just become a clown, right? Like it's we kind
but
of Dan laugh
Hurley's
at it.
Always
we joke
had
about
that.
It. Yeah, he's authentic. That's one thing I will say. I don't agree that he's putting it on. I think this is just always how he's been since he was a player, really. But again, it's just very fickle. Like, I watched the UConn team. They don't look as dominant as they looked the last 2 years.
I think the problem is there's no recourse here. Like, there's no, like, lack of professionalism, or, man, if you think that that Dan Hurley's acting like a child, there's no recourse, because if he's going to win, then he'll get to act like this.
Yeah.
That's it.
One thing about UConn is they're a little recession-proof, because they're not like Kentucky, where they have to have, like, all superstars. Like, that's a funny thing about Danny Hurley. Like, he doesn't really have NBA-laden teams. He's got some NBA players, but, right, like, he coaches up these.
Well, Stephon Castle, didn't he go fourth in the draft this year?
I mean, he had two lottery picks last year. You know, Hawkins was basically almost a lottery pick, or may have been a lottery pick. I mean,
yeah, but it's certainly not like Duke or Kentucky. I mean, what year Duke had Zion? How many top five picks were?
Oh, yeah, that year was.
And Kentucky's always like, he doesn't rotate in all the top recruits.
No, but he's getting top recruits. He's
getting top
recruits. The Cooper Flags, but he's getting the
Liam
next
McNeil,
level
the guy
guys.
Liam McNeely, the guy who made the foul, is a McDonald American.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but is he getting the number one recruiting class year in and year out? Not necessarily.
No, but his recruiting classes are different now because they've won back-to-back titles. So, which is to Manny's point of, do I want my kid to play for him? A lot of people want their kid to play for him.
Yeah, and he seems to, the kids like him, right? Isn't he popular?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that he has definitely, the concern always is these guys can wear out very fast. And like, at some point, dudes stop listening. But because the roster turns over every year to some extent, it's not like you're on year six or year seven of him screaming in your face to really get fed up with him.
It also seems a little different than like a Bob Knight, where it seemed like, oh my God, he may actually hurt one of his players, or did, I guess, in certain instances, or Tom Izzo when he gets really crazy. What's the name almost sees almost purely about the refs? Most of his player stuff seems more positive. I don't really see him just berating, lighting into one of his guys. Look, his team's up 30 points all the time, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, but go to a practice.
Yeah, you know, practices are always going to be different. I mean, just in the games. It feels a little different than some of the issues we saw Bob Knight, the guy at Rutgers, Rice, who got fired about 10-15. Mike Rice a couple
of
years ago.
Right.
So, like, you know, it feels a little different, and I think that's why for some it would be more savory.
Yeah, I still think, as we said it last week, joking about it, because he was pissed about not winning by enough last week. Sometimes it sounds like he doesn't like basketball. Like, he doesn't like his job. He's just angry to
miserable.
Be there. Yeah.
Mm.
I get that.
Ouch.
What are they right?
Is that a shot at us?
No, I'm saying about him. It's a lot of pressure.
Oh. You said, I get that, like, you knew from experience about
hating
your team.
I get that sort of love-hate with your job when it's something like this. We've seen athletes say this a lot. It's not just coaches. I think athletes too. And it's funny because Dan Hurley and Bobby Hurley were always going to be coaches. Look at their dad, just like the Harbaughs last night. They were saying on the broadcast there was never a chance they were going to do anything else but be coaches. And I think when it's predestined like that and predetermined, maybe you love it, but maybe you resent it too. There's probably a lot wrapped up in it.
UConn ranked number two this year, Pearl. So,
I was about to say they're falling off too. I mean, nobody repeats in any sport anymore, and they repeated. So I would not count out Danny Hurley. Sorry, Manny. I think you're going to be stuck with him.
Man, he's tapped out.
He's locked into the Knicks highlights.
I'm watching the Knicks rerun.
Highlights. Get out of here. All right, we got to take a quick break. Folks, thank you so much. We have our college football report card coming your way.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right next.
Oh, time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally gonna kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
That's your opinion. Maggie and Perloff back here on the Infinity Sports Network. Okay, so EJ's going to throw out a person or a team, and we'll tell you what's the grade. Go ahead, EJ.
How about Kalen DeBoer, head coach at Alabama? They lose a tough one to Oklahoma this weekend.
Man, is this for this game or the season?
Kind of feels like the same thing.
Dealer's
right?
choice for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with this one as a C-. I mean, you have 3 points. You're the offensive guy. Jalen Milroe saved one of his worst games for the end of the year. This is when you're supposed to be peaking. This is a tough, tough game for Kalen DeBoer.
Oh, I mean, C- is generous. He just lost 24-3 to Oklahoma, who stinks right now. Got run all over, was out tough. I was trying to squint and see him as a fit with Jalen Milroe. It's a wrong quarterback for Kalen DeBoer. Maybe that's an excuse, but I'm going to give him a D.
Okay, well, let's go to Colorado, or let's go to Kansas City, where Colorado played against Kansas. They lost this one. What are you giving Shedeur Sanders?
I gave him a B. It wasn't Shedeur. This was we just got out-toughed by Kansas. Kansas wanted it more, was much more physical. So the worst thing for a quarterback, I always say this, is an opposing running game. Shedeur didn't have the ball in his hand enough to really make an impact. He's still really good, by the way. Oh, my God, does he see the field. And he is so confident. Like, the rush gets at him, and they're right at his feet, and he just, zoop, goes to the left. He's still really good. Nothing about that loss was on Shedeur to me.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to go A- on this one. I mean, the final totals for him looked good, and I didn't think he was the problem at all. Now, I don't know if it was necessarily as simple as what Deion Sanders said after the game, which is, you guys got humbled, you were reading your own clippings. I think that actually takes some of the blame away from Deion, who got out-coached in this game by Lance Leipold. And a lot of people have gotten out-coached by Kansas in the last couple games.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that, because I think I deflected a little from the coaching staff. Obviously, he's more in it than we are. But I didn't think Shedeur was the one who got over his head. Didn't seem like he was taking the opponent too not serious enough.
Yeah, and isn't his calm remarkable, too, about Shedeur? Like, does he ever look like anything bothers him and makes him nervous? Very steady
times
player.
He's getting creamed.
Yeah, I mean, there was that one really cheap hit that they didn't call where
right
the guy
in
went
his knees.
He came right back out and threw the ball like nothing had happened on the next play. So tough.
How is that not a flag, by the way?
The refs are just a joke.
I know.
A complete joke this year. That was insane. One of the worst hits I've ever seen. Let's go to Ohio State. How about Will Howard putting out cigarettes, talking trash? What do you think about the Ohio State QB?
You know, he doesn't scare me. So I'm going to give him a B-. Will Howard doesn't scare me. And listen, Ohio State has the best odds to win the national title. They might win the national title, but I'm not so afraid it's going to be because of some great game Will Howard is going to play. I think he's like a B- quarterback.
I'm giving him an A on the group project that is the Ohio State offense, because I don't know about Will Howard, but you even saw it against Indiana. This might be the best receiving core of all time. It is insane. Carnell Tate's arm, like, they have three top half of the first round receivers and a good tight end and amazing running backs. Like, is Will Howard the right guy for this team? Because all you have to do is put it out there for these guys. They're insane.
I know, but see, that's why I'm going B minus. Because imagine if he was actually an A plus quarterback, they would be one of the great college football teams of all time, maybe.
But I think that he does the right thing. He is not trying to do too much. He's not putting the ball in harm's way. Just sort of getting into his playmakers.
To be fair to him, the whole offensive line's been all shuffled around too. So I guess that's something.
Oh man, if you get Egbuka in space running, there are just so many ways. This is a really, really interesting team. I have no idea how good he is. Do you have any sense? You said he doesn't scare you.
No.
But it's really hard to tell because the team around him is so good.
So I was going to say B minus. What grade did you give him? Sorry.
I gave him an A for the group project. Because he's definitely like a group project guy. You know when like you're like with five people on a group project and they're all really smart? That's Will Howard.
Yeah. What did you say before? This guy, he's just going to be a backup quarterback till the end of time.
Oh, yeah. I just feel like he's going to be a good backup quarterback who's going to win like an important game one time in his career. And he's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. He's got a Craig Krenzel vibe for Ohio State. I think he's good enough to win a title for sure.
Let's get to the last one. Let's stay in Columbus, but let's go to the other sideline. What about Kurt Cignetti in his first big game at Indiana?
I give him B minus. I feel like they belonged on the field with Ohio State, and that is something. I mean, their offense was not good. Not good at all. But at least he had his team up enough to play defense. Like, I had very low expectations coming this game, and they were on the road. And yes, their offense was terrible, looked super tight, but their defense hung in there big time against Ohio State because they didn't get the doors run off them, and that, to me, is an accomplishment.
I'm giving him a C. I like Coach. He talks a lot. Google me, this and that, and I like the renewed swagger that he has for Indiana, but you're saying that, yes, they didn't get boat raced because sometimes in college football, the scores can be so embarrassingly lopsided. But when it was 38-7, I never thought that they were in any danger. And I didn't think they were coming back when it was 31-7. And I didn't think they were coming back. They were bad in the places that you need to be good when you're playing this type of game on the road, which is the special teams and the fundamentals all have to be so buttoned up. And they were not. And to be honest, I know going to the horseshoe is going to be really hard, but they got lucky that it wasn't a night game. They got a noon game, and they scored on that first drive, and then we didn't hear from them again on the offensive side for 2 hours.
I'd like to see them play again on a neutral field now that Indiana's taken that first blow to see if they can make it more of a game. Obviously, going to the horseshoe is not ideal.
No.
I'm not sure Curtis Rourke is really healthy either.
That's part of it. I get it. But, again, talked a lot. Thought they got exposed against Ohio State personally. 855.
Yes. Sorry, talking for a purpose though, to fire up his team.
Sure. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we're going to talk some of these college quarterbacks. Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, is going to join us next. Let's get into it with the former NFL scout.